I had a good friend in Frankfurt at the church I previously pastored who often on Sunday morning would ask me a question. And the question was, got a good one today? Now normally my answer was something like, I don't know. Or if I was feeling especially optimistic, I might say something like, well, I hope so. But I was thinking today about that question, and as I was preparing during the week, I thought, man, I've grown, I'm more confident. And if he were to say, as last week when I was getting ready for this one, you're going to have a good one for Sunday, my answer would have confidently been, no, I don't. I don't think I have anything to say. You ever feel that way? Maybe you got nothing to say, good to say, nothing good to give. And by the way, maybe I missed my calling and should have gone into marketing. You guys look pretty excited to hear the pastor say right off the bat it's going to be a bad sermon. Is that a good way to sell it? Well, buckle up. And maybe you can get a good nap out of it. You ever feel that way? It's just like nothing. I got nothing really to contribute. Or I want to make a positive difference in the world, but it seems like the people who change the world, maybe they look better than me, or they talk better than me, or they just relate to other people better than me, or just in general better than me. The kind of people who change the world, the kind of people who make a difference. It's not really me. Well, if you ever feel that way, me too. And maybe you'll be interested in what Jesus said in the portion of the Sermon on the Mount that we're looking at today. So we're starting off with this statement, you are the salt of the earth. Jesus is addressing his followers here, people who are following him, and he says, you are the salt of the earth. Now, there are a lot of different angles we could go on salt, and if you've been in church for a while, you've probably heard a lot of different sermons on salt of the earth, and remember, this is a bad one, okay? So there's nothing to add here. There's a lot that's going to be missed, a lot of good perspective. So the angle we're going at today is that salt makes the experience of eating better. Salt makes food taste better. And that Jesus was saying to his disciples, you are the salt of the earth. And that when you are around, when you are present, you make things better. Now, again, that's just where we're going with this. You probably have better insights, but that's what we're thinking about. That Jesus, when he says to his followers, those people who are listening, you are the salt of the earth. This is an identity thing about who the followers of Christ are, that we are a blessing to others, that our presence is a blessing. I thought back to another good friend from last church in Frankfurt, and she was a salt of the earth person. Her name was Evelyn. And Evelyn, a few years ago, made me promise that I would officiate her funeral when the time came for that to happen. And this February, her time on earth was drawing to its final hours, and she invited me to come, and also the guy, we went to Lebanon, Indiana, where her house is, and the guy who would tell me, hey, got a good one today. He joined me, and we had a special friendship, and we went basically to go say goodbye for now. We knew she didn't have much time left. And before we had this really special emotional time together, and before we left, she wanted to leave us with a blessing, and she looked at us and she said, thank you for the presence or the blessing of your presence. She told us that just what a blessing that we were to her. You're this salt of the earth person that always made things better whenever she showed up. But she was telling us, and she wanted us to communicate to people when we saw them, we thank you for the blessing of your presence. And that's probably going to stay with me for a while. But I hope you hear that this morning. You are the salt of the earth. We thank you for the blessing of your presence. We are better this morning because you are here. You're here as a blessing. Your presence is meaningful and impactful. We thank you for that. Let's go on and see what else he had to say. So after it, like, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under people's feet. Now, if you're like me, you're thinking, oh, that's the catch, right? Maybe I've lost my saltiness in a good way. Maybe the salt that I'm supposed to be, I've just lost it. And it's not good anymore. And to think about how salt loses its saltiness, let's turn for a second to science, shall we? Okay, so salt is the chemical compound sodium and chloride. It's a simple compound, and one aspect about it is that it is very stable. I looked at the website Ask a Scientist, and they were dealing with this question: how can a salt lose its saltiness? How can a salt lose its taste? And the answer was not easily, because it's so stable. It talked about how sometimes salt will appear to lose its saltiness, but it really doesn't. The reason why salt sometimes appears to lose saltiness is because too many additives. And so it can lose taste because there's so much joining, and it just kind of, you miss it. But if you remove the additives, you'll get right back to it. And the salt, the sodium chloride, has not really lost its saltiness. But about the only way that the thing that can be done, so as long as salt is dry, it's not going to lose its saltiness. Water can come in and it can dilute it so that it's diluted and dilute the sodium and the chloride. But that's really the only possible way that salt can lose its saltiness. And the conclusion of the scientists writing what I read was that salt is so chemically stable, sodium chloride will not lose its saltiness even after being stored dry for many years. So be encouraged. Salt does not easily lose its saltiness. It's a stable thing. If we follow Jesus, we're the salt of the earth. And believe it or not, like, I know my hang-ups. I know my insecurities and my failures. And probably some of you who know me know my blind spots even too. And they're there. Jesus is saying, hey, you're the salt of the earth. Faults and all, frailties and all, insecurities and all. And salt is not easily lose. It's not made to lose its saltiness. This is a stable thing. As we follow Jesus, we are the salt of the earth. There's no catch. Next, Jesus said, you are the light of the world. Now, I want to take some time here. I want you to look at the people around you. Go ahead and do it. Don't be shy. Now look. Look at the people around you. Yeah, they're looking at you. You're looking at them. Okay? What do you see? Right? You see a person. What if it were pitch black in here? And, I mean, no light whatsoever. Would you be able to see that person? No. Oh, maybe we're looking at a building right now. Maybe you've looked at flowers recently, or art, or something. So when we think about looking, we don't really think of looking at light, right? Light paves the way for us to see. So the light really isn't just about the light, but without light we can't see. So I'm looking at light, but I'm looking at Janelle. So light is essential for us to see anything. It made me think of the famous C.S. Lewis line, I believe in Christianity as I believe the sun has risen. Not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else. The light gives us perspective. It helps us to see everything else. And Jesus is the light of the world. We believe in him not just because we see him, but because by him we see everything else. He says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Now, the light of people who would have these lampstands in their house, there would have been a lampstand and a small one. The light was fairly small. It was placed on a stand to give maximum light. It was fairly small, but it had a big impact. Do you ever feel too small? Well, Jesus was referencing something that was pretty small, but made a big impact. And it was placed in different places to give the most amount of light. Let's move on with what he said. He said, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Now, we live in a culture that often criticizes small thinking. And it's that way, if you read a lot of leadership books, it's that way in the church world too. Criticize small thinking. I've read books and been in conferences when somebody will say something along the lines of, if your vision is to reach 1,000 people, it's too small. You need a God-sized vision. It needs to be 10,000. If your vision is too small, then if God doesn't intervene and come in, your vision, your thinking is small. And we underchange God. And I think there's a point to that. Sometimes they even throw in a Bible verse. But for a lot of us, when we hear, God, think big. God, think big. Don't dream small. Don't think small. We feel like, man, I can't do all those things. What I'm doing is so insignificant, it doesn't matter. If I were a better Christian, I'd make more of an impact. You see, I'm not doing anything in this world. I don't know most of my neighbors. I haven't led anybody to Jesus. And then we feel like we're not a good Christian because we haven't been doing these big things for God. Had an interesting discussion this week that was similar to this idea of big things and big visions. And it happened over carpet. We're buying some carpet squares for a room we're working on in the church. And Roger Werner works at a carpet company. And because this is Roger's church, we were honored by having the owner of the company come out and advise us. So we were big shots this week. But we ended up, we interacted, and I ended up in her office talking to her. She's a Christian, her name's Tammy, and she was talking about the music. She was playing Christian music, and a song came on. And it was a song I hadn't heard, but she wanted to talk about it, and it was a song by Josh Wilson called Dream Small. And she was saying, you know, I've heard this song, and the first several times I just didn't like it. I thought we're supposed to just dream big, and this just seemed like everything going against everything I'd always been taught. And she said, as I listened to the words, I thought, that's right on. So I'd never heard this song, but I looked it up, and it was a song that I just really loved and thinking about being salt and being light. Again, it's called Dream Small. So these are the words. It's a mama singing songs about the Lord. It's a daddy spending family time the world says he cannot afford. These simple moments change the world. It's a pastor in a tiny little church, 40 years of loving the broken and the hurt. These simple moments change the world. It's visiting the widow down the street or dancing on a Friday with your friend with special needs. These simple moments change the world. Of course, there's nothing wrong with bigger dreams. Just don't miss the minutes on your way to bigger things, because these simple moments change the world. Dream small. Don't buy the lie, you've got to do it all. Just let Jesus use you where you are, one day at a time. And then the chorus here that we'll end with. Living well, loving God and others as yourself. Find little ways where only you can help with His great love. A tiny rock can make a giant fall. Yeah, 5 loaves and 2 fish can feed them all. So dream small. And as I listened to her and thought about this, it reminded me of one of my favorite quotes by Mother Teresa. And it's quoted in different ways, but it's something along the lines of this. Don't look to do big things for God. Just do small things with great love. That's good for us. I know it encourages and challenges me, and I hope it does you too. So as we're thinking about maybe how to apply what Jesus is saying here, I want to pause for a second just to address it. If you don't follow Jesus, if you don't know what to believe, the thing I want to communicate is we're so glad you're here. And this talk may sound like it's Jesus talking to disciples, and it is, but it's good for you to be here. Whatever you believe about Jesus. And our conviction is that Christians, disciples, followers of Jesus aren't any better than those who don't. But we just believe that following Jesus makes your life better. And following Jesus makes you better at life. He's just so great that he comes in and changes us and gives us life. So that's our conviction. So that the application is really hearing the declaration, hearing the good news that Jesus gave those disciples in his most famous sermon of all time, and it was this. So listen to this declaration about the followers of Jesus. You are the salt of the earth. Your presence is a blessing. When you are around, you make things better. This world is better because of your presence. You are the light of the world. The perspective of those around is better because of your presence. As we follow Jesus, you are salt, you are light. So the application is just to try to get out of the way and to be the salt and be the light that Jesus talked about. As we follow Jesus, we see that blessed life really is less about us being blessed and more about us being a blessing to others. And as Jesus mentioned, it's more blessed to give than receive anyway. But as we follow Jesus, what we see is that our presence can be a blessing to others. Sometimes we feel small. Sometimes we wonder if it's working. But we will make things better. Our presence is a blessing. You may be a little salt, a little light. But if that person next to you, if he's a little salt, a little light, and the person around you, if she's a little bit of salt, a little bit of light, God takes that. A small dream or small act, and he uses it to make an important impact in this world. Don't think you have to do bigger things to make an impact for God, change the world. Dream small. Be salt. Be light. Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, you are great. You are the maker of everything good, and your word tells us that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Sometimes we feel too small to make much of a difference. Sometimes we are afraid that what we have is not good enough. Remind us that you do not give us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and self-control. Please use us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world, so that others will see and glorify you. Please include us as you work to be a blessing to all the families of the earth. In Jesus' name. Amen.